Community Voices, Illinois 250, is a series created in partnership with Illinois Humanities. Today, we're talking with two women who have devoted their lives to keeping Black history visible, Layla Wills and the preservation of sites connected with the Illinois Black Panther Party, and Connie Martin with Underground Railroad Quilt Traditions. Connie, what does Black history illustrate to us?
The history evolves from our race evolving toward more and more freedoms that we're granted and allowed to have legislatively, socially, academically, and politically. That's the reason why it's very important to know that if you know your background, to know your background and to share the background. My mother, talking about the quilt presentation, performing the quilt presentation for 16 years before she passed it on to me as a retirement from teaching present, included information about the Underground Railroad. And that's when I first started being interested in the Underground Railroad, which she started the presentations back in 2002. That's the year and date that she also published her book, Lizzie's Story, The Slave Family's Journey to Freedom. So it's not highly involved until I retired from teaching, and then she passed the presentation on to me, which was all lecture, then made quilt replicas to use in the presentation because the original quilts we have, my mother has them. I started doing more research on our family and doing more research on the Underground Railroad in general, being able to travel to 25 counties so far in Illinois and doing a little research on each county and each city I present in and create a slide to include in my presentations to tell the audience, this is the Underground Railroad stop in your city, or these are the abolitionists who were helpful in your city. How can we bring that to present day and make it important and justifiable to share to the next generation? That's how I became involved in doing the presentations. Now I have two different presentations, one's on the quilt codes and the other's on the hidden messages in Negro spirituals that were created by enslaved people on the Underground Railroad as well. I taught my children the quilt codes. My grandchildren are the eighth generation descendant. They're able to tell their friends and their schoolmates about the quilt codes that were highly secretive and didn't even come out into public view until a book was written in 1950.
The research has to be difficult because historical records weren't kept as well.
Many of the records were destroyed by the Union Army coming down into the southern slaveholding states. Many homes were burned. Many files were destroyed. Many records of accounts of slaves, because now you have to go back to the county census and they have to go back to county records that actually maybe have had not only maybe records of enslaved people, but had records of their livestock. Now, if you go back and look at the records of their livestock, you may be able to find this particular slaveholder had 8 horses, 5 cows, 10 pigs, and 15 slaves. Because the slave records are with the property that they owned, which is their livestock. They were referred to as property. We know who our slave ancestors were. We know them from documented. That's better than DNA. We had records that were well kept through my great grandmother named Lizzie, who kept a family Bible.
Explain a little bit how the quilt comes together, what the different pieces are of the quilt.
The quilt code in our family was distributed among about 15 quilts, individual quilts. So each one quilt is the master quilt. We call it a sampler. The quilt sampler has several blocks. Each block is a pattern on the same quilt. That's the quilt sampler. That's not the main one that's used on the Underground Railroad. That's the one that's a teaching tool to teach the people who are granted the right to escape, because not everybody could escape. You had to be chosen to escape and go through a series of checks to make sure you're okay to be able to escape and become a freedom seeker. That was the key that you had to sit down and learn before you left on your journey, so that when you came across an individual quilt with one code in each quilt displayed on purpose, then you would know what that quilt meant. So you were told about the quilt codes before you left, so you would recognize it and know that you were going in the right direction. Each individual quilt has a pattern that all repeats on that same quilt. That is a code. For example, Log Cabin. Log Cabin is a quilt that has squares inside of squares inside of squares, and then a center square in the center. If the center square in the middle of the log cabin was red, that means that it was not safe to stop at that moment, because slave catchers, bounty hunters, or law enforcement or slave traders could be near. So they had to wait until someone came out and put the one that had all black squares in the center, or if it was a red one, they put a black square in the center, meaning it's safe. Or if it was all black, then they come put a red square anywhere in any one of them, red in the middle of the log cabin block, meant it was dangerous. They come out and they take it off and make it all black, and then it was safe to approach the house once they knock on the door and they say, I am a friend, or I am a friend of a friend, which meant that you were an abolitionist or an anti-slavery supporter, and it was safe for you to come in and rest, get rest, sleep a night, get food. And then the next conductor would come pick you up and take you to the next safe stop. And there's many safe routes on Illinois that I'm sure we know. It's amazing to see how many routes go all the way up all to Chicago. I don't care what map you look at, every single route in Illinois from the junction of the Ohio River and the Mississippi River at Caro all the way across the state of Illinois, and then they all converge to one point, and that's Chicago. Everyone had to get to Chicago or you're not going to get free. That's where a multitude of abolitionists, both black and white, would be there to help you to get a boat to cross over Lake Michigan into Michigan, and then walking up to Detroit, get another boat, cross over Detroit River into Ontario. That's one route. There's another route that takes you up through Windsor, another route that takes you up through Niagara Falls, crossing over Niagara Falls through Niagara Falls, which is a hotbed of underground activity, into Nova Scotia to freedom. Why did they have to get to Canada? Because of Queen Victoria and her husband, Prince Albert. Prince Albert, who hated slavery, they both did, was the president of the Underground Railroad Convention in London at that time, and had a convention and invited African-American Underground Railroad activists to come and speak at their convention. Eventually, Britain outlawed slavery, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, all outlawed slavery, and British North America outlawed slavery in 1834. That's why, because of the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, everyone had to get to Canada, whether you are free or not, because that's where you could be truly free. Not free in Illinois, not free, not free. Freedom seekers were not free. Some did stay, some did build homes in central Illinois, but not in southern Illinois. They were very pro-slavery in southern Illinois all for a long time.
That's the best explanation I've heard of the Underground Railroad. Thank you for illustrating that. Turning to Layla, you have a project going on similar. There's a trail in Illinois you're marking for the Black Panther Party.
When we first started doing the history of the Illinois chapter, the first thing you'll realize is how extensive the party's operations were in Illinois. They had operations all the way down to Carbondale and all the way up to Rockford and Waukegan. The Illinois chapter was also in charge of the entire Midwest region, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, all reported to the Illinois chapter. The other thing you'll notice is that just about all the properties were demolished through the years. I want people to remember how young the Black Panthers were. Some was young as 14, and then a lot was in between 14 and 19. And then you had some people that were over 20 years old. So it wasn't like they were property owners anyway, but they did operate out of churches, offices, through time and gentrification. It could be even worse intentions why some of these places were demolished. We have to create places for the Black Panther Party where people would know that they were here in all of these neighborhoods. When you're growing up in an area that has totally changed, like if you go back to your old neighborhood, it's totally changed. So the new people there or children just now being born would be like, how come it's like this? And why haven't we been able to accomplish that? And they would think no one was here fighting for them. So it was also important for our community and collective memory to know that these struggles took place. We are placemaking. It's a public history project. We're starting out with 13 sites. 12 are in Chicago. One is in Peoria to place historical markers at these locations. We have a lot of public support, foundational support. We're working on the digital materials of the Heritage Trail that people can follow. They can see all the locations that we've mapped out, and they can visit these sites if they want to, as long as they know that sometimes there's just an empty lot that's there. when they go to these locations.
Historical markers have been really important because when there's nothing left to see, you still know they're in that space and you usually can have some interpretation written on that marker. Is there a digital map already set up on a website somewhere where you can see where these either are or will be?
They can go to our website, ilbpp.org, as in Illinois Black Panther Party, ilbpp.org. And there are several maps on the website. They can see locations of the Illinois chapter, locations of the breakfast program, locations of Fred Hampton. They can see the 13 sites of our inaugural trail that is also already mapped out. We're working on more interpretive materials like narrations from the Black Panthers themselves, historical photos, research materials for researchers like demographics, news articles, some more material starting with the 13 sites.
Sounds like a great resource. And Illinois Humanities also has a resource put together of a variety of different things regarding Civil War, civil rights, Black history in Illinois. It's their Illinois Passport. You can find out more at il250.org. As you sit here now and think about this rich history you've reviewed for African American history, Black history, the 250th of the Declaration of Independence, which very much for the most part was a positive vision statement, where do you think we need to go next as far as honoring the aspirational parts of the Declaration of Independence?
250 years later, there are forces in place right now who are trying to take away or deplete or whitewash our Black history. And we as a people need to come together, both Black and white, red and brown, green and purple. Everybody needs to come together to try to fight that and lobby for the fact that we need to retain our information. And just because we are not of the same color, we need to respect other people's histories and leave their histories in place. We're losing the freedom of speech. So we need to remember that, yes, it's 250 years, but some people think that 250 years is want to be positive and celebrate it. Not everybody feels it should be celebrated, but we need to be real because some people's rights are being taken away from them going into our 250th year of this nation. So what do we do and how can we come together to make it understood that these freedoms we have earned need to stay in place? The history that we have created as Black people need to be there and stay in museums and stay in schools and stay in universities and continue to be talked about and spread and shared to the next generation so that younger people can still remember what happened and be able to have a better enriched life because they knew their history. It's not all fireworks going on for many people to celebrate the 250th anniversary, especially among the Black communities of our country. But we're mindful and respectful of the fact that we are 250 years. Now, what are we going to do to preserve our history in the future?
Leila, the Black Panther Party was a party that was facing a similar type of thing at the time they originated. How do you move forward? What type of representation is needed to make sure that the progress that has been made and the progress that still needs to be made continues to happen?
For us and our efforts and other historical efforts going on, a lot of the public history projects are very nuanced and people we would have never heard of if it wasn't for people like Connie and what we're doing and others that are bringing these stories out. We've actually been very fortunate to be in community with these kinds of people and our supporters. We have a lot of support. Legislatively, we need to stay on top of that to ensure yes. that these programs can continue. The other piece of that is public school curriculum. That is the next frontier. We do have Black Panthers who are working on a curriculum. That's important where you're interpreting the history that you lived. Then you supplement that with actual facts of demographics and statistics. The school education is the next frontier. Just thinking about my own books in school and what they did not contain and how it was supplemented by the teachers that we had.
Each person, whoever you are, whatever culture background you come from, that we are going to be able to continue to be proud of our heritage. We need to teach these little Black children to be proud of who they are and where they come from. My mom came to our school and did the quilt presentation every year for 13 years. 432 seventh graders every single year for Black History Month came to the cafeteria, and you could hear a pin drop because they're interested and they want to know. And as long as we keep having quality programming for children of all races and quality speakers coming in to educate and then giving teachers the curriculum they need to keep teaching Black history and teaching about our culture and teaching about how we get along with everyone else in the world, that will increase and enrich their lives as they grow up into adulthood and have their own children. And remember, oh, my teacher taught me that. I'm going to teach my child that. To be free, to be self-emancipated, to retain the rights we have, not to have them taken away, to get even more rights that are deserving of every living creature on this earth. You have a right to speech. You have a right to pick a house and live where you want to live. You have a right to put your children in the school that you want them to be in. And that's part of the things that we need to continue on into the future.
Layla, any last thought?
All of us are here, which means all of us have a history. And history is not warm and fuzzy all the time. We must continue in the public space to make room for all of these stories. I did not agree when they tore down statues and relocated them. And then here we come with this kind of work that we're doing. And the Black Panther Party has a controversial history that we acknowledge, but we have to make room in the public square for all of this history. We don't do our future selves any benefit by erasing history, tearing it down, whitewashing it, acting like it didn't happen. I would like to see us all make room for all the different parts of American history.
Thank you, Connie Martin and Layla Wills, for joining us today, acknowledging Illinois 250 and our history, positive and negative, through the years. You can find out more at il250.org. America 250 and Illinois Voices appears on Community Voices Thursdays at noon and 10 p.m., and you can also listen on demand at mprillinois.org.